You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
September the 19th, 2022, we are live streaming at rumble.com. Yes, we used to be on YouTube Live, but they did not like what we had to say. They shut us down. So you can go to rumble.com, enter in the search engine, Larry Connors, USA, and take you right to the studio. You punch live, you're in studio with us. Glad to have you. And remember, everything is posted later at rumble.com on the live telecast as well. So the story coming out of Homeland Security has been kind of buried by state-controlled media. That's what's happened in Venezuela. The Venezuelan leader, Maduro, is purposely freeing inmates, throwing the jail doors open to let out convicted killers, rapists, and others, and telling them to join the caravans, go to the southern border of the U.S. of A. Do you think we're vetting those who are coming across the border? We have been trying to, apparently, at least to the extent that we've caught at least 40, maybe 60 or more by now, terrorists trying to come across the border, those who would be on a no-fly list. They would not be allowed to fly into our nation because they have terrorist ties, but they can come across the border posing as just another illegal, or as the left would call them, a migrant. So Governor DeSantis and Governor Abbott of Florida and Texas, respectively, say they will continue shipping illegals from their border states or the border cities into blue cities and blue states. And they should, because they say they're sanctuary cities and havens, but they expect the border towns to bear all the brunt. 2 million illegals, pretty much since Biden took office. Biden doing a sit-down interview with Scott Pelley yesterday for 60 Minutes. And he also said that the U.S. military forces would defend Taiwan if there were an unprecedented attack from China. We have a guest coming up later in this hour, Gordon G. Chang, a Chinese expert. I want to get his take on what Biden's remarks mean, if anything, and what's the latest in possibly up the sleeve of President Xi as he deals with Taiwan and looks at what's happening still with Ukraine and Russia and the U.S. of A. President Biden also in that interview on 60 Minutes said the coronavirus pandemic is over. That's right, he said. It's over. But we still have a problem with COVID. By the way, following that interview, as he also tried to downplay skyrocketing inflation, saying it's only up just an inch, just an inch. Is that what's making you suffer? Inflation's up an inch? He's talking about it went from 8.5 1 month to 8.6. Oh, I know, 0.5 to 0.6 doesn't seem like much, but it means a lot when you spread it across the nation and put all the numbers in play. It's not an inch, and it just means many, many more will suffer. And it's, again, another new 40-year high in inflation. When he's asked, is it going to get worse before it gets better, he said, no, it won't, I hope. Yeah, he added, I hope. Well, later during Sunday Morning Futures, Congressman Ronny Jackson, Republican of Texas, who served as White House physician for Presidents Bush, George W. Bush, Barack Obama, and Donald Trump, said, I don't think Joe Biden's ability is getting any better. He continued to get worse since he was a candidate. He said, I know he's had these emotional outbursts. He shuffles when he walks. He slurs his speech. He looks frail and fragile. But Biden yesterday in the interview with Scott Pelley said, I'm perfect. I'm only as old as someone might think, but I don't think I'm that old. I'm doing just fine, thank you. Nature making some big news for us. A 6.9 magnitude quake hitting southeast Taiwan. Buildings have collapsed. A tsunami warning, more than one, have been issued. We don't know at this time of the number of any death or injured, but we know there have been numerous casualties. There's also remnants of a typhoon that are battering Alaska's western coast. Since late Friday, they're bringing flooding, uprooting buildings, forcing residents to seek shelter in Alaska. And also Hurricane Fiona making landfall along southwestern coast of Puerto Rico. Massive catastrophic flooding. It's not going to get better for those folks in that area. Oh, by the way, U.S. Envoy John Kerry advising African nations, you don't really want to put a lot of natural gas into your country. I know you want to modernize and bring electricity, but don't do that, he says as he gets on his jet plane.
Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
Your eyes are burning, you're sneezing, it's allergy season. Pollen readings are sky high. Heck, you can even see that yellow powder on everything. So that's also inside your air conditioning ducts. I suggest you call Wellington Environmental. Now, other companies will be glad to do the job, but they're going to come to your home or business, count the air ducts, and begin increasing the cost. In fact, the quoted price might even double. Wellington offers one price, no extras. You'll be charged exactly what Wellington quotes. So this is easy for you. Call 314-644-4930, 644-4930. You will breathe easier. Wellington has a AAA rating with the Better Business Bureau. 314-644-4930, 644-4930. Wellington Environmental, your world cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington.
My sponsors keep this program on the air. So my thanks to John Bill Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest price. So when you need a roof, remember this sponsor for this program, John Bill Roofing, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
Baby, I got your number. Oh, and I know that you got mine. I called too many times. You can call me, baby. You can call me anytime. You got to call me.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
And all those people in D.C. and New York were beating their chests when Trump was president, saying they were so proud to be sanctuary jurisdictions, saying how bad it was to have a secure border. The minute even a small fraction of what those border towns deal with every day is brought to their front door, they all of a sudden go berserk.
Oh, but Ron, let's be clear here. The residents of Martha's Vineyard, they didn't go berserk. Instead, they sprung into action by providing clothing and food and securing shelter for the newly arrived migrants. Now, some would call this human trafficking, but shuttling migrants like cattle to score political points has been going on for some time now. Not to be outdone by Governor DeSantis, Texas Governor Greg Abbott trolled Vice President Kamala Harris by busing migrants to her home in Washington, D.C. on Thursday. Since April, Governor Abbott has bused over 10,000 migrants from Texas to New York to Chicago to D.C. without advance warning or notice to those cities that people, including children and infants, would be arriving. And just like the village of Martha's Vineyard, these cities, they sprang to action and did their duty to welcome migrants, not as political pawns, but as human beings. Governor Gavin Newsom of California is calling on Attorney General Merrick Garland to investigate Ron DeSantis, writing, quote, transporting families, including children, across state lines under false pretenses is morally reprehensible, but it may also be illegal.
Well, finally, somebody on the left talks about illegal, but not reference to what the Biden administration has done by opening up our borders and allowing cartels to traffic children and drugs across our southern border. But the fact that DeSantis sent illegals into a blue city sanctuary state, or Abbott doing the same, that's illegal. And almost accusing them. In fact, the other day, Governor Newsom of California was saying we ought to charge them with kidnapping and abducting. They get so righteous, but they don't have any moral ground to stand on. That full thing you were listening to was a clip I pulled from MSNBC. I wanted to let you hear it pretty much unedited. As it went on, and it talked about, as you heard, how they were, DeSantis was saying, you know, they're going to learn to deal with it, what we're dealing with down here. And she, the anchor, pointed out to her, well, the people of Martha's Vineyard did step forward and help out. They didn't clutch their pearls and everything. They helped out. You know how they helped out? Well, I'm looking at a piece here that points out that they were so strapped at Martha's Vineyard, which is the wealthiest zip code in the nation, if not the most or close to. And in the midst of that, also you have something like probably every home is a minimum $1 million. And they would tell you, we didn't have room for them here. They have plenty of room. They can handle 100,000 tourists during tourist season. And many of them stay in some of the quaint little hotels, or they rent the houses that are there that are vacant half the year. Whatever. But also what they did, they started a GoFundMe. That's right, in Martha's Vineyard. Apparently so broke, they started GoFundMe to help with just that 44-hour crisis, raising money and everything, and they were calling it by a statement, a humanitarian crisis. The leader of the Martha's Vineyard Community Foundation stepped forward and said, we need to do what we can to help these people. And she has apparently made at least 6 donations to Kamala Harris in the past, so she certainly understands the border czar's difficulty in dealing with illegals, because now they're on her doorstep. So they try to gather all this money together. And, of course, don't forget, former President Barack Obama has a $14 million mansion on the island. He didn't come down to help. I don't know if he gave any money to the GoFundMe thing. I don't know at all, but maybe he didn't even know about it. You think? But the White House Press Secretary, Karine Jean-Pierre, if you recall the other day, when she was speaking to the reporters about this and calling it again a stunt by DeSantis and Abbott, absolutely critical, because they are the ones using people as pawns, not the Democrats, these two Republican governors.
The migrants, including children, who arrived in Martha's Vineyard were misled about where they were being taken and what would be provided when they arrived is also deeply alarming. The children Governor Abbott abandoned in Martha's Vineyard, the children that Governor DeSantis abandoned deserve better. They deserve better than being left on the streets of D.C. or being left in Martha's Vineyard.
Yeah, you deserve better than to be left at Martha's Vineyard. And then her point that they've been lying to the children and the others. Migrants, they call them migrants, not illegals, migrants. The Biden administration been lying since in office about that the border's open. You come on in and we'll take it. Well, the folks are coming here, they don't have a job. They don't have any place to stay. So they come across the border. Now, the impression of they got from this administration is you come across, we'll take care of you. They haven't been, have they? No, they leave it to the border towns. It's your issue. They're on your doorstep. But then in the middle of the night, Biden was putting some on planes. And I wish I'd thought to remember this when I had my guest the last hour. John Lebutier was with us. And I really appreciate John. Very candid and very outspoken. Very intellectual. I will give him that as well, obviously. But he was talking about how much of a stunt was. I said, well, where was the issue with Biden when he was flying them by the dark of night into Westchester, New York, and letting them out and spreading them across various parts of New York State, Connecticut, so forth? See, it was okay then. That was not abandoning people. You may have problems with DeSantis sending them to Martha's Vineyard. I don't. Because Martha's Vineyard people are going to take care of them, right? They have a sign when you arrive there. We stand with our migrants. No, they didn't. What they did immediately was call the governor and say, get these people out of here. So the governor, who is a Republican in name at least, activated the National Guard to help get 50 migrants off the island and to a base on Cape Cod. Now, I'm sure they have good accommodations there too, but it's not as ritzy as it would be staying at Martha's Vineyard. And here was the thing that was a real kicker, and I was watching some of this video. Migrants are boarding the bus to be taken to the ferry, and then in turn, I assume to the ferry, may have been by plane. I don't know for sure how they got them to Cape Cod. But either way, they were boarding a bus to go on, to leave Martha's Vineyard. And several Martha's Vineyard residents lined up to shake hands with them and hug them, and tears were flowing, and they're crying, and one of them was crying and saying, I just hope they land where they're supposed to. Where were they supposed to land? Where were they supposed to land? They came to this country expecting to go anywhere they want in this country. But, of course, they're going to have to pose a burden on wherever they start, and usually that would be the border cities. So now we put them in an area that's extremely rich, filled with liberals. It is a Democrat enclave, and they want them out. Move them on. Round them up. Herd them out. Now, you talk about treating them like cattle. That's what Martha's Vineyard and the residents did. They didn't offer to take in even five of them. Not even one family. Get them all off our island. But again, here's a clip of the libs that began blasting DeSantis and for what he did. And I will tell you, as this clip begins, you might recognize some of the voices, but I want to make sure you understand that the first one is Ken Burns. That's right. The featured documentary maker, which I've had a great deal of respect for, the documentaries he puts together. But he is so diehard liberal that as you hear him speak, well, you'll get the picture. Here it is.
This is so cruel and so unnecessary, so uncalled for, and so brazen. It shocks the conscience of any fair-minded human being.
This tactic by supposedly Christian right politicians like DeSantis, Arizona's Doug Ducey, and Greg Abbott of Texas, is about as unchristian as it gets.
Stephanie, that is not a political stunt. That is an act of evil. And it is an act of evil being done by evil men.
Some politicians would rather not only have an issue, but exacerbate it to the extent of literally human trafficking, as you said.
Huh. That's Hillary Clinton. I know you recognize at the end. Who's been most involved in human trafficking for the last 2 years? That would be the Biden administration, encouraging illegals to come. We have pointed out numerous times the illegals are bringing children, drugs, and often criminals. And they may or may not have a child when they start on the caravan, but they're told that if you have a child, you're more likely to get into the U.S. So either they buy a child or they kidnap a child along the way. And every child is probably subjected to numerous sexual offenses. And then they get here, and we don't know if that child is turned over to someone who will take care of them or turned over to a den of sex thieves, sex crimes and so forth. We don't know because we can't track them. We're not tracking them. We're not vetting them. We don't know who's coming across, except occasionally. The other day, a drone over one part of the Rio Grande area saw something like 1,000 illegals crossing the Rio Grande that they never got hold of. They were so-called among the getaways, never identified in any way whatsoever. But again, it's cruel and inhumane for what DeSantis and Abbott have done. They've simply moved them from one place of convenience to another place, into a blue city and blue state, which says it's a sanctuary city and state, and welcomes them until they show up on their doorstep. Mayor Eric Adams in New York City has had 8,000 come to his city, and it's just too much for New York. A New York City, 8,000 is too many? The city of 8 million stories, and you can't take 8,000 illegals and provide for them? No, they can't. In fact, they're booting, quote, homeless people out of the shelters for the illegals coming in. You think if they rearrange priorities in that city, they could take care of more? Well, yes, they could. Thanks for asking, Larry. But let's go back to Jim Acosta on CNN, and he's talking to a Republican strategist, yeah, they let her on, Alice Stewart, who at one time had been also a Ted Cruz strategist.
Alice, the White House calling this cruel, it appears, I mean, it sounds like from just listening to everybody, that many of these migrants were misled about where they were being taken. They were tricked into these buses and on these planes. Is this really the best way for Republicans to shine the light on this issue?
Look, what's cruel is the fact that the Biden administration has had their head in the sand on this for months. And the days of them playing Baghdad Bob with the crisis at the border are over. Look, when you have policies in place with this administration with regard to Remain in Mexico and Title 42, which sends a welcome wagon to immigrants to come into this country, you have the obligation to make sure that they are processed and taken care of properly. And when they come into this country, the border towns of Texas and Arizona and also parts of Florida, they should not be subjected to the undue burden of caring for these people simply on the basis of proximity. So I think the proper thing to do is, this is an administration problem. They do not want to deal with this. So I think the governors were correct in making sure that this is an American problem and let other states also bury the burden, especially when they are sanctuary cities and states in many cases.
And I fully agree. Although John LeBoutier, my guest last hour, he had a differing opinion, and you're all entitled to your opinions. But I'll ask you, do you think that the so-called sanctuary cities and states, which say they welcome illegals, that they shouldn't be bearing some of the brunt of it? Or are they just able to give lip service and nothing else? And the first thing the D.C. mayor said, I need the National Guard in here to help me. Pentagon did not send them in for. Well, when Cardona was speaking, when Alice Stewart was speaking, the GOP strategist, sitting next to her was the liberal that was on the set with CNN, Cardona. And she sat there smirking and looking at her like, you are so stupid. Wait to hear what she had to say. Stand by.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
This is disgusting. This makes my blood boil. This is personal to me and so many Americans in this country. As you know, Jim, I am an immigrant, and there, but for the grace of God, go I and my family. This administration is on this. They are processing these folks at the border. And this is what is so vile, twisted, and corrupt about what these governors are doing. The Border Patrol and DHS agents that processed these folks have now let them go, and they were going to go to where their family members were. That processing occurred. They are now being lied to. These governors are being deceitful. They are acting akin to human traffickers and abductors.
Well, that's a pretty harsh statement. The comparing Governors DeSantis and Abbott and Ducey of Arizona to child traffickers, human smugglers. Riddle me this. How did those illegals, which the Dems want to call migrants, how did they get across our border from wherever they were in South or Central America or from wherever they were in the world? How did they get across the border? Drug cartels, after they paid them, got them to the border, helped them get across. And along the way, probably sexually abused numerous members, and at the same time had them bring in drugs and fentanyl, which is killing 250 to 300 Americans a day. But it's just so cruel, and it breaks my heart. I mean, the words you were listening to are coming from Maria Cardona, a Democrat strategist, as she appeared on CNN's program with Jim Acosta. And she's talking about, it's just so cruel. It's just not right that they do this. I mean, she's echoing what everyone else says. I mean, Dick Durbin, Illinois senator, says it's pathetic that Abbott and DeSantis are, quote, taking advantage of these helpless people. They don't think the Biden administration has done the same by encouraging them to come here, knowing that you're going to have to find a way to be provided for. Who's going to do the providing? Well, that would be the towns on the border. You live on the border, just tough for you. You should live in Martha's Vineyard. Things are nice. Well, until these 50 showed up the other day, and things got really bad for about 40 hours, but we got them off the island, so things are good again. They claim to stand with the migrants, and the first thing they want to do is get them off the island. We can't take care of them. Yes, they could. They're lying. And for her to say that it's cruel and inhumane as to what they were doing, no. We didn't dump them in the middle of the desert. Say, good luck, see if you can find water. Maria Cardona was on the set with Jim Acosta and also Alice Stewart, the GOP strategist you heard in the last segment. And Stewart was talking about how it was a good deal that the governors did this to wake up America. And at the same time, Cardona's sitting there kind of looking at her, kind of, you're pathetic. You look at you. You don't know anything. I do. I mean, the very look that she was giving the other woman, that would be called out if a man had done it to a woman as, what, mansplaining? Or if a woman did it to a Democrat woman, they would definitely call that out. But he got by on this one. But again, Cardona also wants you to know these folks have a right to be here.
These are the most vulnerable people that exist in our society. They are not here illegally, by the way. We have a law in this country that says if you are afraid for your life, you can come into this country, and they are coming through legal ports of entry. They are not sneaking in. They are presenting themselves to Border Patrol, as is the process under the law, and they are seeking asylum. So these governors are putrid, corrupt, vile. I think they're criminal as well. And they are treating these migrants like trash, like second-class citizens, and they are saying to them, we hate you, we don't want you. And I believe that this is a huge message to all Latino voters in this country, to all immigrant voters in this country. Watch out. Today, it's these migrants. Tomorrow, it's going to be you.
Ah, yeah, but see, you didn't come across illegally just then, did you? Or did you? Coming up, Gordon Chang on Taiwan. And the threat for China and the U.S. Stand by, please.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
For some companies, loyalty is a lost word. You give a company your business, your years, but in the end, you're just a number. But at Ackerman Toyota, loyalty is appreciated. Thousands of customers personally know this. New Ackerman customers quickly see it. Loyalty defines Ackerman Toyota for all customers and employees. Ackerman Toyota at Hampton and 44. Ackerman Toyota for life.
I fell into a ring of fire. I fell into a burning ring of fire. I went down, 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 and the flames went higher. And it burns, 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 the ring of fire, the ring of fire.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
We have some breaking news I want to share with you. There's a 7.6 magnitude earthquake just striking off the southwestern coast of Mexico. They have a tsunami warning issued for parts of Mexico at this point. No known casualties or damage yet in Mexico City. Apparently, this quake was about 20 miles deep. But again, it's a 7.6 quake. We may see more on that. And of course, earlier today, Sunday in Taiwan, a strong quake hit, a 6.8 quake. They're still assessing damage there. My next guest is an expert in that region of the world, China and Taiwan, Gordon G. Chang. You can find him at Twitter, Gordon G. Chang, Twitter. Gordon, glad to have you on board with us.
Thank you so much, Larry.
Do you know much more than what I just said about the quake that hit Taiwan earlier today?
caused some damage, but apparently it has been limited. They're still assessing this, but Taiwan does get a lot of quakes, so they are prepared for this.
I assume, yeah, that they build better there to that extent, and the 6.8 sounds big in what we think would be big, but for if they've got their buildings originally correctly built, they should be pretty good, you think. We only have one report that I see of deaths there, but some injuries. All right, let's get to the subject at hand. Yesterday, sir, as you well know, President Biden was giving an interview of 60 Minutes, and during the interview he said that when it came to Taiwan, when he was asked what would President Xi or what should the Chinese president know about your commitment to Taiwan, Biden said, you know, there's a one China policy. And Pelley said, would U.S. forces defend the island? And Biden said, yes, and if in fact there was an unprecedented attack. Your reaction, first of all, to that remark?
I think that President Biden said absolutely the right thing. It's great. None of his predecessors have said that since about the Eisenhower administration. And I believe that he deserves a lot of credit for making it clear to China that there will be a severe cost if they invade. And that cost will be they will have to face the United States and our allies because we will defend the island of Taiwan.
And immediately after that, the White House, in response to a question from 60 Minutes, they immediately said, well, there's nothing's changed. It's what we all have always had. So there's nothing changed in their view. Is that correct still?
We don't know. And matter of fact, if that clarification from the White House stands, it means that there has, in effect, been a constitutional coup. In our Constitution, it's the President of the United States who makes foreign policy. This is the fourth time Biden has said this. He said it to George Stephanopoulos last August, right. Anderson Cooper last October. He said it to a reporter in May of this year, and now to CBS News on 60 Minutes. Each of these times, the White House staff, the State Department spokesman, the Secretary of Defense, have contradicted the president. So I think that, first of all, Joe Biden needs to actually tell the American people what is his policy because of these clarifications. And indeed, it does appear that there has been, there is a constitutional crisis. It may not be one which is so evident to people.
Well, when you say that you're saying someone else is taking over Biden's role as a commander in chief and making a decision that we would or wouldn't do something, is that what you're suggesting?
That's right. I'm not only suggesting it, I'm saying it. Okay. There has been a clear contradiction of the President of the United States on four occasions. This is, in our system, President Biden is the one responsible for foreign policy. So he needs to clarify what the policy of his administration is, in fact, because we've heard from him, but we've also heard these quote unquote clarifications. And if these clarifications stand, then it's clear that Biden is not making foreign policy. And that would be a constitutional coup.
All right, let me put this in full context so I don't mislead anyone. Pelley later said that after our interview, a White House official told us U.S. policy has not changed. Officially, the U.S. will not say whether American forces would defend Taiwan, but the commander-in-chief had a view of his own. And then Pelley asked him on video, so unlike Ukraine, to be clear, sir, U.S. forces, U.S. men and women, would defend Taiwan in the event of a Chinese invasion. Biden's short, quick answer was yes. Does that change
anything?
Larry,
our phone connection has...
I'm sorry.
I didn't hear that because our phone connection
Let me repeat. The last question Pelley asked, so unlike Ukraine, to be clear, U.S. forces, men, women, would defend Taiwan in the event of a Chinese invasion. Biden answered, yes.
Yeah, it's very clear what the president said. And that, of course, is a change in the policy of strategic ambiguity that existed through the Trump administration. So clearly you have these White House officials, State Department officials, Defense Department officials contradicting the commander-in-chief. So that is an abrogation of his president's responsibilities. That is, that's a coup.
You're listening to Gordon G. Chain. You can find him on Twitter at Gordon G. Chain, and he's a columnist, author, lawyer, and expert in China. The other thing that comes to mind, and I agree, I don't really like giving specifics as to what we will or will not do in something. Some believe, well, this is just to make sure President Xi knows that there will be repercussions if you do anything that crosses a line, but it brings me back to Obama drawing a line in the sand and then erasing it and backing up another two steps. How sincere do you think Biden is?
Yes.
Go ahead.
Yeah, Biden has said this four times, so he's sincere. The problem is the United States has gotten into wars by not being clear. Dean Acheson, Truman's Secretary of State, publicly drew a line that excluded South Korea from our Western defense perimeter. Soon after that, the North Koreans got the approval of the Chinese and the Soviets to invade South Korea. That war was unnecessary. 33,000, 36,000 Americans killed. Then you go to 1990, where April Glaspie, our ambassador to Baghdad, told Saddam Hussein we would not defend Kuwait. 8 days later, the Iraqis invade Kuwait. And that means that the Gulf War and the Iraq War were completely unnecessary. So, you know, we need clarity in our foreign policy, our policy of strategic ambiguity with regard to Taiwan. I believe at this point encourages the Chinese to engage in adventurism. The president said the right thing, but the president also has an obligation now to clarify his policy because clearly his subordinates have contradicted him.
So where does that place Ukraine? What kind of ambiguity was present to allow the troops to gather around Ukraine, claiming they were just doing maneuvers, and then just suddenly start charging in?
The failure of the Biden administration to deter a far weaker Russia from invading Ukraine was one of the greatest failures in American foreign policy. In other words, through our almost 300 years of history. And clearly, I think Biden understands that that policy in Ukraine was a mistake. Scott Pelley's question was extremely clear. I think Biden gave the right answer. Unfortunately, now you have an administration in disarray, and I'm afraid that disarray will encourage the Chinese to do what the Russians did. We don't know what's going on in the White House. The president has a responsibility to tell the American people because the American people need to know. This is one of the most dangerous periods in our lifetimes. I believe the most dangerous, more dangerous than the Cuban Missile Crisis or the Checkpoint Charlie crisis for that.
I'm glad you brought up the Cuban Missile Crisis in the last minute here or so, because a lot of folks would relate to that was a more dangerous time. But when we look at what China is looking to do with Taiwan and how fast that could escalate, I'll give you the last 30 seconds, sir.
Yes, well, we now know that neither Khrushchev nor Kennedy were willing to use their nuclear weapons. So we don't know that about Putin. We don't know that about Xi Jinping. This time is more dangerous than 1961 or 1962.
Do you think there's a way to find, I keep waiting for China to do a few, they've already held numerous maneuvers near Taiwan. That's probably going to escalate, but so far no direct action. What would you think would be the next step?
I don't know exactly what the Chinese will do, but clearly we will see more provocative actions in the air, as we have seen recently, not only with their drones, but with their planes. And those planes crossing the median line in the Taiwan Strait, considered to be a provocative act.
Gordon, as always, I thank you for your expertise. The audience appreciates it. Gordon G. Chain, you can follow him at Twitter at Gordon G. Chain, and we'll do it again, sir.
Thank you so much, Larry.
You bet. Look forward to having you back. Coming up, Senator Hawley of Missouri says whistleblowers are really making us aware of how big tech is selling out the government.
You can follow Larry on Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
Here's exciting news for Cafe Napoli. Soon there will be Napoli Sea. Unique, exquisite, the finest, freshest seafood, lobster, crab, the best caviar. Napoli C will be next door to Napoli 3 on the streets of St. Charles. So it's going to be easy to satisfy your seafood craving or the finest Italian food. Napoli C, coming soon, joining Cafe Napoli St. Charles, Counting Country, and Clayton.
Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Here's the really, really chilling thing, is the whistleblower told me under oath that he believes that Twitter engineers have doxed users before. You know, taking their personal information, put it out there in the public. He thinks that it's very possible that Twitter engineers have gotten into people's accounts and altered stuff in the account. Your record of tweets, maybe even tweeted out under your name, under the user's name. It's absolutely unbelievable. And here's the thing. We know that these companies are far left companies. The employees are overwhelmingly leftist. We know that they love to censor. And here we have real world proof that literally thousands of left-wing Twitter employees can hack accounts and do whatever they want anytime they want.
And they have. And those are the words of Senator Josh Hawley of Missouri, talking about some of the whistleblowers who have come forward about what's happening inside big tech. As you know, last week we had testimony from various big tech execs to the Senate Homeland Security Committee. And in fact, one of them, the TikTok chief operating officer, decided not to fully answer, would you promise to cut off all data and information going back to China? And she declined to comment, but promised the outcome of negotiations with the U.S. government would satisfy all national security concerns. That's not enough, my friend. That's not enough, because these big tech companies have been at the use and behest of the government for some time now. Whistleblowers pointing out that Facebook has red flagged various items for the FBI. If it raises a question about integrity of an election, vaccines, whatever, they immediately red flag it and send it to the FBI. In other words, your information, your address, your location, what you put up, even if it's a private message you sent, goes direct to the FBI if it shows any, quote, dissension. Well, what's going to be dissension? You have a right in our nation to disagree with the government. You don't have a right to disagree with me. I'll make that clear to you. But you can't disagree with the government. But again, Senator Josh Hawley says you got to keep in mind we have to be worried about what we're giving to China and other communist and foreign nations, but also what big tech is giving our government. Stand by and hear this one.
Our own government wants to control these companies, and they don't even have to ask very, very hard. The companies are willing to turn over the keys of the kingdom to the Biden administration, who was first on the list for the Biden administration to go to talk about censorship with their unconstitutional disinformation board, Twitter. First on the list. Who are we going to go meet with? Twitter. We also know that Facebook now sat down with the Biden administration and actually took down accounts based on what Biden's team was telling them to do. You know, can we take this account down? And Facebook says, oh, yes, we can. We have the emails for it. So these are censorship machines, and they're being manipulated every which way, including, unfortunately, by this administration.
And if it's been going that way, you know it's going to continue. Is this what you want in this nation? This sounds like you're living inside communist China, communist Russia, communist Venezuela, North Korea. We already know that they will throttle back, shut down stories if they don't think it's going to be beneficial to a candidate running for election that they want to see win, to wit, Joe Biden, when the Hunter laptop story came out, Hunter Biden laptop, and they've already been told by the FBI, be aware of Russian propaganda, and they said, well, this fits that, we'll just pull it back, ignore it, and they did for a year and a half before finally admitting, yep, it's true, and the stuff on the laptop is true. Do we see an investigation? No. Democrats focused on January 6th and anything else they can do to muddy the water and destroy Trump and anybody that might follow him. And the attacks on MAGA Republicans continues. If you say you want to make America great again, you are the enemy of this administration. So here comes President Bill Clinton, former President Clinton. He said, you know what? I'm looking around and I see a world filled with strife and tensions, and I have the way to save it. I am the savior. Yes, here he comes again. He said, I'm going to step forward. He said, the world's on fire in a lot of different ways, but there are a lot of things business, non-governmental groups and governments working together can do. Therefore, we're reviving the Clinton Foundation, the Clinton Global Initiative. It started today, as a matter of fact. They got a guest, a long list of celebrities helping them out. Matt Damon, Bono, Ashley Judd, so forth and so on. California Governor Gavin Newsom, of course, he's going to be in there. They're all coming forward to recreate and restart the Clinton Global Initiative. It ended, if you recall, in 2016 when Hillary launched her presidential campaign. The time before, the year before, donations dropped about 40% because word got around that she's selling access to these foreign governments. That's why they're giving so much money, paying Bill Clinton $500,000 to go to Russia for a speech, which he probably just kind of, hey, great time I had. And that was about it for $500,000. I'll do that for less. So they're going to refire it. And they think everybody will want to donate money because, after all, Hillary might run again. That is the biggest grab bag. And those who contribute are big suckers. Might as well be standing outside the tent. Come see the three-legged animal with four eyes. Looks like Larry Connors. Thanks for listening, as always. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Thank you for listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.